Good afternoon. I was thinking as I was getting ready to come today how dangerous it is to put a brand new father behind the pulpit. I could easily consume my time just chattering about what happened 24 hours ago. But I'll just share a couple of anecdotes with you. Of course, the baby and Mandy are doing just fine. The baby is 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Her name is Hannah Beth Caroline, and they're both listening in on the telephone hookup today. And the birth process went very, very well. There was really no complications or any problems to speak of. We're just very thankful for that, very thankful to be on the other side, and everyone's happy and healthy and beautiful. So as Mr. McNeely said, when Liam was born, I'll be standing at the door with pictures after service for anyone that wants to see him. You know, just a couple of things I'll share that were amazing to me during the process, both about Mandy. One was that she was so polite during her labor. It was really surprising. I, you know, had been well coached that she might snap at me or tell me to back off or something during the contractions because they're so painful. And at one point, you know, we had a water birth in the hot tub, portable hot tub that was set up in our living room. And my job was to take a washcloth, dip it in cold water, and when the contractions stop, I would, you know, wipe the cold washcloth on her back or her forehead or cool her down. And one time I lost my concentration or something, and instead of using the washcloth, I started splashing the hot water from the hot tub up on her back. And she turned and said, "Could you please use the washcloth instead?" And I was so taken aback that I just kept splashing the water. And she said it with a little more urgency next time, so I kind of regained my sense. But the other thing that amazed me was that she kept her sense of humor through the whole thing. We know we're in the electronic age now, so instead of, you know, having a line of people who were banished from the room outside knocking on the window or something to get updates, Mandy's mom, Sandy, was designated as the communicator in chief. So we had a steady stream of text messages going into her phone to get updates. She would reply. Well, during one particularly hard contraction, Sandy's phone went off with a text message coming in, and Mandy said, "Tell my sisters I'm busy." So, all in all, very thankful that everything went so well. Well, the timing of this event was wonderful in a couple of ways. I told Mr. Vincent last week that the timing of his message was, well, he spoke on marriage, and I had been planning for some time to speak on birth, so our two messages will go well together. And then also, of course, having the birth week, I can speak with a little more understanding. Well, I'd wanted to start out with a couple of humorous quotes about pregnancy that I found. One was from the humorous Dave Barry. In his work, 25 Things I Have Learned in 50 Years, he said, "One of the things I've learned is that you should never say anything to a woman that even remotely suggests you think she's pregnant unless you can see an actual baby emerging from her at that moment." Pretty good advice. And then my favorite of all the quotes I found was from American comedian Rita Rudner, who said, "Life is tough enough without having someone kicked from the inside." True enough. Well, there are so many spiritual lessons and principles that we can learn from physical things. In God's wisdom, He has designed the physical realities, processes of life to represent and model the spiritual life. In Romans 1:19-20, Paul describes people who would suppress the truth even though they can clearly see it. He says, "What may be known of God is evident among them, for God has shown it to them." The obvious question is, well, how has God shown it? He goes on, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made." Paul is saying that God intends for us to learn about Him and His way of life through the physical creation made. We can often take God's creation and its many miraculous aspects for granted, especially in our modern world with all the technology. Kind of take granted. Canadian singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan has a song on the soundtrack of the movie Charlotte's Web titled "Ordinary Miracle." I'd like to read just the beginning portion of the lyrics. She says, "It's not that unusual when everything is beautiful. Just another ordinary miracle today. Guy knows when it's time to snow. Don't need to teach a seed to grow. It's just another ordinary miracle today." This song is meant to make you stop and think, and it's great reminder of how important it is to not just gloss things over, to not just take for granted, and most of all, to not take life itself. To borrow from the concept of the song, once the wheels of the birth process are in motion, that tiny little seed growing in the womb, it doesn't need to be taught how to grow, does it? It just happens because of the miraculous design that God has put together. Our Almighty Creator has created a design that runs automatic process start. So today, let's look closer at the amazing birth and the lessons that we can learn from it. In particular, we'll see how the physical process of human birth is a model for the spiritual process of how we are now becoming spirit beings and we're going to see eternal life. So we'll look at the four major phases of the birth: conception, development, labor, and then the actual birth itself. See what we can learn from each phase. So first, let's look at conception. Conception is the fertilizing of an egg by a sperm, the result of sexual relation between a husband and wife. Fertilized egg also attaches itself female uterus, part of that conception process. Now, what's interesting to note about this phase is that the egg by itself is incomplete. From a physical standpoint, the egg has the potential to become. It only has potential, but not on its own. The egg is missing key chemical elements. Genetic information have to be provided from a source outside of the egg itself, which is sperm. Popular medical information internet site WebMD explains, if a sperm cell meets and penetrates an egg, it will fertilize. At the moment of fertilization, the genetic makeup of the embryo is complete. So again, you have to have a combination of those things to start the life process. Many of you have seen images or video in science publications or documentaries of an actual sperm cell burrowing into the egg, binding egg, so that that true physical combination takes place. This first step in the physical birth process is a representation of the first step spiritual process. When God begins to call a person to open their mind, they're like the egg before it's fertilized. They have the potential to become a spirit being, but not on their own. They need something else from an outside source. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 chapter contains a couple of scriptures. This James chapter 1 verse 18. It says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first of his creature. In the King James Version, verse 18 says that he begot by the word. When we hear begot, many of us think of the genealogy chronicle and elsewhere. It's about, again, that birth process. The Greek for got means literally to breed forth, generate. So we could say that we are spiritually by the word of truth. We are given our spiritual start in life by God's word. Look next at verse 21, a little bit down. Verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted, which is able to save souls. It is interesting that God's word here describes self the implanted. We can kind of think back to that image of the sperm cell burrowing into the egg, planting itself in the egg. We can think of this and remember all of the scriptures that tell us that God's word has to be written on our heart. God's word has to be internalized in it. It has to become a part of our spirit DNA. I'd like to read next Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version. It says, God our Savior showed us how good and kind he is, saved us because of his mercy, and not because of any good things that we've done. God washed us by the power of his Holy Spirit. He gave us a new birth and a fresh beginning. This passage tells us that our spiritual life is also by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We need that in God's help us start growing in the right direction. When God's Spirit begins to work with us as we are being called, it is like the start of that new beginning, fresh life we need to have. So to summarize this phase, the human birth process can only begin when the egg is activated by outside of itself. And likewise, for the spiritual process, we too must rely on outside of ourselves, God's Word, Holy Spirit. So second, let's look at the development process. Develop. Once conception has taken place, the fertilized egg is attached to the wall of the female uterus, and it remains there typically for about 9 calendar months, 40 weeks. This period is often called gestation, baby growing, physical development. And during this time, it's on kind of a continuous upward path growth. Limbs begin to form, and all of its internal organs begin to form. And again, many science publications and documentaries have given us tremendous insight into how this development process works, what forms first, and you know what size the baby is, so many weeks, so forth. And it's just an astounding process. I read that ovulation, when an egg actually comes out before it's fertilized, is about 0.1 millimeter. I tried to find something to compare that to, because it's so tiny. So I went, I work in drafting, so I went and got one of my old protractors for drafting class in high school, and it had a millimeter scale on it. Started trying to find something in the house that would, you know, be about 0.2 of a millimeter. And I finally got down to a needle, and it was still a little bit big, about the diameter of a needle to sew with. That's about the diameter of an egg before it's fertilized. So it's just incredible to think, you know, again, with our own experience, our little girl Hannah Beth came out at 8 pounds, 6 ounces, fully formed, that all of that came from point diameter egg. Incredible process. This development process symbolizes seconds in the spiritual process. While the child grows inside its mother's belly, it is 100% dependent on its mother. You can think of life's way to explain this. On total, complete life, there isn't anything the baby needs needs that it doesn't get through that umbilical. It's oxygen, it's nutrition, totally dependent on the mother. In much the same manner, once we are spiritually conceived by the implanting God's Word and Spirit, we are on spiritual life as we grow, mature in spiritual character. We have to totally depend on God for everything that we need. Let's look at a couple of verses that talk about this. First one will be in Psalm 71, verse 5. And as we read this, let's think about the spiritual implications as well as physical. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, "You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise continually be of you." In verse 6, it uses the word upheld. And in the margin of my Bible for that phrase, upheld from birth, it has literally sustained from womb. The time that we're conceived in the womb, we depend on God totally for everything. He upholds through everything. Let's look next at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, there's a passage with a very similar concept. Isaiah 46, verse 3 says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried in the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and even to the gray hair, I will carry. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver." So again, this concept of being sustained by God. In verse 3, where it says that we're upheld from birth, again in the margin of my Bible, it says literally from the belly, from the time that we're in the mother's belly, we're upheld by God. Sustained. Now back on the physical side of the development in a baby, you know, we've been talking about how we're spiritually sustained as we grow in character. Back on the physical side, it's interesting to note that many traits and characteristics of what a person will be like are already developing while the baby is in the womb. And we're given insight into this back in Genesis. One example we'll look at back in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like?'" Now it's interesting to think about what Rebekah was experiencing at this point. We know that during the pregnancy process, women will often have morning sickness or nauseous, have kind of other physical signs of process. Well, Rebekah must have known that, and she must have known that, you know, something out of the ordinary is going on here. Why am I experiencing whatever physical signs I have? So she went to the Lord to inquire. Verse 23 says, "The Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One shall be strong than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Here we can see that there was a characteristic of a certain strength being developed even while the children were in the womb. We know that's talking about Esau and Jacob, and we know that Jacob did have, you know, more of an emotional strength. Esau gave up his birthright very easily while Jacob wrestled with God all night and was blessed. There was a strength there that you could see being developed even while the children were in the womb, or that God gave in. So as we think about that, we should ask ourselves, what kind of spiritual traits and characteristics are evident in us? We await the time that we will be fully born spirit children. There's a passage in the New Testament where Jesus used the birth process as an example to explain what we should be working. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, a well-known passage here. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things unless God is with you.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" You know what it's like when you're talking with someone, either spouse or maybe a coworker in the office, and you can tell that they're with you, they understand what you're saying, and then something in their face changes, and you know that they're not with you anymore, that somewhere they've come off track. Well, Jesus probably saw that in Nicodemus here, that say the train of thought had derailed, because in the next verse, Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born? He is old. Can he enter the womb a second time when he is old born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, spirit cannot enter the God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." So Jesus was talking again in spiritual realities, and Nicodemus was having trouble getting out of the physical context he was in. William Barclay describes the meaning of this teaching in this passage quite well. He says, "It is quite clear that, as we are and in our own strength, we are quite unable to render to God complete obedience. It is only when God's grace enters into us and takes possession of us and changes that we can give the reverence and devotion we ought to give. It is through Jesus Christ that we are reborn. It is when he enters into possession of our hearts and lives, change comes." That spiritual rebirth talking. This describes total dependence on God we must have and the spiritual life we have to rely on. The ultimate aim of our spiritual development process is to be reborn with complete, pure, spiritual spiritual character that is perfect obedient God. It is as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all have come new. So let's look next at the labor. In physical birth, labor is the next step in the process once the child is fully formed, fully developed, physical standpoint, in the mother's womb and is ready to be born. Now what happens from a technical standpoint during this period, that the female cervix dilates or opens up path for the baby to exit, and the uterus begins contract, push the baby downward, exit birth. That's from a non-technical standpoint what happens, that the woman is in pain, severe extreme pain. Many of you may have seen the old Bill Cosby comedy routine on natural child. It was on the Bill Cosby self-performance. In this skit, Cosby quotes Carol Burnett, who said, "The pain of labor is like taking your bottom lip, pulling it over your head." From what I saw a couple of nights ago, that's not far from the truth. You know, as a small aside, unfortunately, many men over the ages have held the mistaken and imbalanced view that women are somehow weak, inferior to men inherently. The Bible does say that men and women's roles are different and that women should be subject to men in authority, but it does not say that they are weak. And I would challenge any man with that view to trade place with a woman who's in labor, and I think that he would shortly become more respectful of strength and perseverance that women have. The Bible often uses labor to describe the portion of our spiritual birth process we refer to as trial. The labor process is a lot like trial. The transformation from our natural physical state to spirit life is not easy. Painful and difficult sometimes. We make mistakes and we suffer consequences. Many times we suffer because circumstances, someone else's choice. But regardless, we experience pain, and enduring that pain is a vital part of our spiritual birth process. Just as a baby can't be born without the mother going through labor, we cannot become spirit beings without going trial. Vital part of what we have to go through. Turn to Micah chapter 4. Look at just a couple of examples of where labor is used to describe the process that we go through in life. Micah chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized like a woman, labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. Like a woman in birth, for now you shall go forth to the city, you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered, there the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemy." So here Micah, of course, prophesying that the kingdom of Judah would go into physical captivity to Babylon. There's a spiritual implication too, because we know that in a sense we live today in spiritual, and we're pressed and tempted by the things around us. The world isn't living rightly, and we have to endure the trials that come upon us. We have to, as it says, labor and be in pain to come out of that process. Turn to Romans chapter 8, the one example. Romans chapter 8, where Paul again uses labor to describe where we are in physical existence. Romans 8, verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For now, we know that the whole creation groans and labors, birthed together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the redemption of our spirit." So again, we see that during the process of life, we have to endure those painful things. But as with labor, that's bringing us toward a much better end. As with the other aspects of birth, God has incorporated his wisdom perfecting into the labor process. In physical childbirth, there are three comforting aspects of labor, even when it's most intense, severe. The first, the length of labor is a tiny fraction of the overall time in pregnancy. As I mentioned before, most pregnancies are 9 calendar months. When we had our baby on Thursday, Mandy was in active labor, probably about 6-7. So again, a tiny fraction of the overall time. Second comforting thing is that there's generally a period of rest between the contractions. So severe contraction occurs, and then generally there's at least a minute or two of rest. Women relax, catch breath for the next month. And then third, there is a tremendous reward on the other side of the pain. Baby born, holding a child arm. We can take comfort in these same realities through our spiritual development. For most of us, the weight and discomfort of trials really consumes only a small total life where we're really in the pain. Most often, again, our trials are spaced at least a little bit, so we have a little bit of time to catch breath, prepare if the next trial will come. And then certainly we are promised the most tremendous rewards that we can imagine. Eternal life, spirit-born children, God, if we endure that trial through the labor pain. So as the final process, let's look at birth itself. You know, in the culmination of physical birth, the very end of labor, the culmination is when that new life enters the world, new child is born. And it's a time of great joy, one of the most incredible joys we can experience in human life. There's just nothing like seeing that baby, laying your eyes on. This portion of the physical birth process represents the day that we all look through with tensing in a spirit. spiritual, the day that we will become full spirit being, receive eternal life, Father in heaven. Jesus Christ himself best described the ultimate fulfillment of the promise. He was speaking to his disciples just before his fix. Turn to John chapter 18, section of scripture that we often read, or always read during the Passover service. Christ was giving some last instructions and guidance, disciples, encouragement. John chapter 16, verse 20, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. The world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish or joy that a human being has been born in the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one take from you. Joy overtakes the physical pain of labor, the mother and father, as soon as the child is born. Likewise, when we complete the spiritual birth process and become spirit beings, it will be just as Jesus Christ said, no one will take our joy." So in conclusion, brethren, let's take great comfort in the careful design, awesome planning and forethought of our Creator that are evident in the physical birth process. It is an incredible physical miracle, but it foreshadows an even greater spiritual, even imagined. Using what we see in this process, combined with what God reveals in His Word, let's have great confidence in the process we have entered into to become spiritually born children, family of God. Let's finish with a passage from Isaiah that speaks about the fulfillment of that promise we all look forward to. Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah 66 verse 9, "Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? Shall I who cause delivery shut up womb? Rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad with her. All you who love, rejoice for joy with her. All you who mourn, that you may feed and be satisfied. Consolation of bosom, that you may drink deeply, be delighted, the abundant glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and glory of the gentle flowing stream. Then you shall feed, and on her sides shall be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall come in Jerusalem." Let's all keep our hearts focused on that day.